And we are back. And why am I so excited? Simply because I get to interview someone that I absolutely, one, I'm a fan, I'm a sister, I'm a business partner. I mean, he's coached me. He's done so much for me in my life. He's looked over me. He's counseled me. He's been the go-to person in my life when it comes down to making decisions inside of my business. And today we have the man, the myth, the legendary, Cedric Harris. I'm so excited, and I'll tell our backstory later on, but let's get into this particular interview. Could you share a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about myself. Virginia native, grew up in Richmond, VA all of my life, come from a very interesting background from the pharmaceutical sales background growing up in the environment that I grew up in. Was lucky enough to get out of that life and focus completely 100% on the direct selling world. Got into the mortgage industry at a very young age. Became a millionaire when I was 27 in the mortgage industry, catching the wave of low interest rates and, you know, buying houses at 9 o'clock and selling them at 9:15 from 2001 up until 2007. And then from that point, I went full time in direct selling and network marketing. And I've been a leader in that industry ever since. And, you know, I've got teams of tens of thousands of people in numerous different countries and different industries. And that's really my passion. You know, authored a book, working on my second book right now, my second and third book, working on those. Do a lot of coaching for different leaders in the direct selling arena and the affiliate marketing arena. And, you know, a video fan and, you know, somebody that likes to travel the world and enjoy life. So that's really the Reader's Digest version of me.
Definitely the Reader's Digest version. I mean, and I thank you for that. So let's get right into the heart of the matter. And for the Great Awakening Virtual Summit, people are coming to get very valuable golden nuggets. And here's the question. The question is this. What blueprint would you actually give your younger version of yourself in business, relationship, and family in order to become successful?
Wow, great question. So since you've got it in three parts, let me break it down in three parts. Let's start off with business. What blueprint would I give myself, my younger self in business? I guess the first blueprint would be to focus on eliminating anything that isn't benefiting my life. Focus on the right things. You know, I think that in life, you can have a lot of things that look like benefits that can ultimately be distractions. So I'll be much more aware of the distractions that are around me. I would eliminate people out of my life a lot faster than letting them linger around, knowing that I need the right circle around me. I would tell my younger self to read more on the topics that I want to be the best in. You know, I think that right now, if you read a book a month, your life changes dramatically. So I would have definitely told my younger self, hey, read a book a month, especially on the topics of entrepreneurship, especially on the topics of leadership, especially on the topics of economics and understanding, you know, where the world is going right now, especially when it comes down to the monetary system. The other thing I would say is, How do I want to word it? I would tell my younger self to take action faster. When the thought is there, when the emotion is there to pull the trigger on something, to do it then. To not linger about it, to not think about it, to not marinate, pacificate, and meditate on it, and think about doing it in a month or 2 months or 3 months. Because when that feeling is right there in your blood, is right there in your system, that's, In my words, I mean, that's a God calling. So it's like, take advantage of it right then and there. The other thing I would say in business as well is, when I talk about the God calling, is follow your gut. You know, your gut doesn't lie. That's your inner God speaking to you. That's your instinct telling you to do something. So I would follow my instinct a lot faster. Second part of your question, you said business, relationships, and what else? What was the third?
Family.
Family. Let's jump into family. From a family perspective, you know, I've got two beautiful young daughters. I've got two beautiful young granddaughters. So I've got a lot of women that run my life. So what I would say is, it's like I told a friend of mine on yesterday, is to cherish the time with the younger ones as much as humanly possible. Understanding that they're going to grow up really, really, really fast. You know, right now I've got a 25-year-old and a 30-year-old, and it seems like yesterday they were 3 and 4 and 5 years old. You know, now they've got babies of their own. So I would say definitely cherish that time, enjoy those moments of teaching, enjoy those moments of crying, enjoy those moments of laughter, enjoy the moments that you'll never get back, because they grow so fast. You know, when it comes down to outside of that, if I, you know, expand it outside of my kids and I use my parents as an example, I would say, hey, I would tell my younger self to, hey, pay more attention to your parents, listen to them more, spend more time with them. You know, my parents right now are in their early 80s, you know, and even though I hope that they've got another 171 years left, you know, but that's probably not possible. But I would say, hey, you know, the younger version, you know, my mom, she likes to talk, you know, so she can get on the phone with me and she can turn a 5-minute conversation into an Alex Trebek conversation, because she's got a question for everything. So that 5 minutes might turn into, you know, 2 hours, you know, but endure those 2 hours, you know. Well, not endure, I don't like that word. Enjoy those 2 hours, because it might come a time where those 2 hours might not be there. You know, my dad is a dude, you know, he's a dude. So he's not a big emotional guy, you know, doesn't show a lot of emotion, you know, he doesn't say the words "I love you" that much, you know. So I would, if I could go back in time, I would break down my dad a lot more. Like, I would break him down a lot more, because those words mean a lot, you know. I remember having a conversation with my dad, you know, about a year or so ago, thanking him for being so tough on me, you know, because when I was growing up, I was always in the trouble, and I rejected my dad's discipline, you know. So I would say that, looking back at it now, was like, hey, without that discipline, I might be, you know, dead in jail or paralyzed. It's only one of the three, based upon how I grew up. You know, there was no other outcome. So I would say, enjoy those times, because they're not going to be here, you know, forever. And keep family close, you know, whether it's aunts and uncles and, you know, people like that. And when we say family, I don't even consider, sometimes you got to take it outside of just blood. You know, because, you know, I look at you, you're family. I've got, you know, my man Rusty, he's family. Larry's family. You know, there's other people that are family, you know. So I've got to look at all those people and say, hey, these people are family, you know, at the same time. So and enjoy those times, you know. Now, when it comes to that big one, when you say relationship, you will put me on the spot on that one. When you say relationships, you know, as a 47-year-old man that has never been married, I got a lot of patience when it comes down to that, because I'm in that place in my life where I feel like when you do that, it's a forever thing, and I'm not doing it to just fill in a gap, you know. So from a relationship perspective, though, I would say that I would tell my younger self to qualify people more. I would tell my younger self to understand really, really, truly what are the things that I'm willing to tolerate and what are the things that I'm not willing to tolerate. And understand exactly what those lines are in the sand and not to cross them, to be 100% steadfast in them. Because I think that sometimes you can get blinded by certain things, and you have to be careful with that blindness, because that blindness can cost you time. I'm not really interested in wasting time. I think time is obviously something that none of us can get back, you know. And I know a lot of people that have very, very successful marriages. I know people that are just in it just to be in it. And me, I don't want it to be that. I want it to be my best friend. I want it to be, you know, more than just my wife. You know, she's gonna be my best friend. She's gonna be you know, she's going to be the lover, the friend, the family, the this, the that. She's going to be all those things all wrapped up in one. And I think that that's very, very important when you think about relationships. So from a younger perspective, you know, I'm 47 right now. So you say the younger version, man, I would tell the 20-something-year-old version, hey, think with the right head. You know what I mean? Like, that's just being real. Like, think with the right one. Like, because things on the outer don't always equate to what's on the inner. You know, so pay very, very close attention to what does that inner person look like. Does that inner person have the qualities that you know that you want to spend the rest of your life with? You know, or are those inequalities something that you're just tolerating, you know, at the moment? I think that as men, as women as well, but I think that over time, especially as we get older, our toleration can become a little bit stronger versus when we're younger, okay, what's next? Like, what's next? No. As you get older, it's like, hey, I don't really want to be out here in these streets like that. So you kind of like overlook certain things, and sometimes when you overlook those things can be deal breakers. And now I'm at a point in my life where I know what my deal breakers are. So it's like, this isn't a relationship, you know, this is a friendship, this isn't a wife, you know what I mean? And that's a perspective that I think that I would definitely drill into the younger version of me, you know, that could have eliminated a lot of time wasted, you know, and heartbreak, you know, and certain areas, you know, because as you go through life, you know, you meet people and, you know, people don't understand how deep it is that once things start, you know, they can continue to progress in a certain way. And I think that you have to be smarter about what is the deal breaker? What am I willing to tolerate? What am I not willing to tolerate? You know, what do I want, you know, in a mate? What do I not want, you know, in a mate? You know, I remember looking at something with Magic Johnson and Cookie. You know, they've been married, I think, for maybe 40 some odd years. And they asked Cookie, they said, what's the secret to your marriage? And she said, we never go to bed mad at each other. Like, we never, ever, ever go to bed mad at each other. So if there's a disagreement, we settle that disagreement. Doesn't mean that it's over, but we settle it so nobody's going to sleep upset. Because I think that you can continue to carry energy, you know, and that and people don't understand how much energy can affect your life in a positive and a negative way. You know, the wrong energy can pull you down, the right energy can pull you up. You know, I'm here to say, and I'm not going to be apologetic about it, but I'm here to say that, you know, the right woman in a man's life can elevate him a great deal. Mm-hmm. The wrong woman in a man's life can tear him to pieces, you know, and I'm not going to apologize about that because I've just seen it way too many times. And a woman is put on this earth really to help elevate that man. Like, let's just call a spade a spade, you know? So it's like, I would tell my younger self, hey, look for that elevation. Look for that person that's that teammate. Look for that person that can offset you. Look for that person that can help pull the best version of you out of you. And then you can help pull the best version of her out of her at the same time. So everybody's elevating, and don't just go through the walks of life and wonder. And another thing I would tell my younger self is that when the real person shows up, listen, listen, everybody has their representative head on, you know, in the first couple of months. Like, you're not even meeting a real person. That's not the real person. That's their freaking representative. That's not the real person. So when the real person really, really shows up, listen, don't ignore the reality of what that real person wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore the reality of what that real person wants to do. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore those things, because those things could be a catalyst of excitement and energy in your life. Or those things could be a catalyst of destruction in your life, you know. And that's what I would say on that. I wasn't expecting to have these super deep questions, but hey, we're here, so.
We're here, and so it's me. You know, you always look after me. You always give me what I want. You've been doing that for over a decade plus, and so today can't be any other different, I'm just saying. So let me ask you this question. I want to go back to business, and it's two pieces of business that I really want you to address, because people don't too often get the privilege that I have with you. They don't get to work alongside of a seven-figure income earner for a decade. And for you, you've worked alongside of a billionaire. And so what I want to do is to touch back on the business piece about the mentorship. And then at the end, the second part of that question would be you standing in a leadership position in the network marketing industry. And the, let's say, the 3 to 5 golden nuggets that you would give a leader that's in the development processing phase to take to elevate their business. But before we go to the network marketing industry, we have to deal with an industry that shaped you and made you a part of who you currently are. And so I want to talk about your mentor. So if you could give us like 3 to 5 golden nuggets that Bill has landed in you or imparted in you years ago that you still reflect on today?
Wow. What did Bill really, really instill in me? You know, Bill showed me a lot of things. Number one, he showed me that it didn't matter where you came from. You know, he was one of the few people that could care less that I had 3 felonies on my record. Now, granted, it was for, you know, selling stuff. It wasn't for rape or something crazy, you know, but he was somebody that didn't care less because he saw production. And when I finally sat down there and told him what I did, he was like, I don't care. Like, oh, no wonder. That's why your freaking offices are so well. Oh, okay, I got it, because you know how to hustle. You know how to work. You know, so he proved to me that where he came from in Detroit, you know, being a veteran, growing up how he grew up as well, you know, he grew up a very, very tough life at the same time, that anybody can make it, you know. So it was, hey, do you have the tenacity to get through? That's the trick. Like, that was one of the things that I learned from him. The second thing that I learned from him was to have people around you that are better than you. Know exactly what you're good at, and then what you're not good at, hire those people around you. You know, I remember being in a meeting with him, and he was like, said, you see all these people in this room? He was like, yeah, all of them in here are smarter than me. All of them in here are smarter than me. He said, you know what the difference is? And I said, what's that? He says, I'm richer than all of them. All of them. And I'm like, well, what are you saying? He's like, what I'm saying is, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You just have the smartest people around you in the room. He was the one that was willing to go through the blood, sweat, and tears. And at that time, he was worth, when we were in that meeting, he was worth about $400 million. You know, that was the closest person in that room was worth maybe 40. And that was his right-hand man. And I say maybe 40, like that's a small number, which is not, you know, by a long shot. But everybody in the room were, you know, six-figure people that he was paying, that was on his payroll. You know, so it was different. So he definitely taught me to have, you know, smarter people around me. The other thing that he taught me too is that, how do I say it in a cordial way, you know? But I'll just tell a story with it, and I'll let people figure it out on their own. I'll dance around the story just a notch. But I remember it was 2003. I was 27 years old, and I was making like $140,000 a month, you know, 9 years prior to that, I was in jail, you know, for selling drugs. So to be making $140,000 a month as a, you know, a 3-time convicted felon was just baffling to me, because nobody's going to pay me that kind of money legally. I didn't even see that kind of money illegally, you know. And he told me, he was like, said, you know, you have the busiest office in the country. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some really, really big sacrifice. And I said, I'm up for the task. He was like, I don't think you understand. It's going to take some really, really, really big sacrifice. And he didn't elaborate on that anymore. And then as I was in the situation of having to be at the office at 7:30 in the morning and work till 5 in the evening, and then only had like a 4-hour break, and then get my leads at 9 o'clock, and I got to book those leads from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then do it all over again at 7:30. And I had to do that 7 days a week. That was every stinking day. There was no day off. You know, I didn't take a vacation for 5 years. And basically what he was telling me, you know, I had a girlfriend at the time, and we were in a, you know, committed relationship, and, you know, she was living with me and I owned the house and all that good stuff. And I remember having the conversation with her one day, and I was like, listen, I'm working so much, I can't come home until the weekends. And she was like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I can't come home until the weekends. Like, I almost killed myself last night, you know, driving home, almost nodded off at the road, almost ran off the road. You know, I'm ducking deer at night. It's a 45 minute drive. Why should I come home at 3:30 in the morning? Then I got to get right back up at 6:30, take a shower, and be right back at the office at 7:30, 7:45. I'm like, this is just getting out of hand. So I'm just going to get a hotel room next door, bring a whole bunch of clothes there, and I'm going to live in that hotel room 5 days a week, and I'm going to come home on the weekends, and that's it. You know, and she was very, very upset about it. And I just told her straight up, I said, I love you, but if this doesn't work out for you, let me know, because I'm really not asking you. I'm just telling you what I'm doing, you know, because last time I checked at 27 years old, nobody's going to pay me $140,000 a month. And I don't know where you're going to find another guy that you're going to be with at this current moment that's going to be making $140,000 a month, and you don't have to do anything. Like, there's nothing that you have to do. Like, you can just sit at home every day and do nothing. You got 7 cars outside, you know, 5,000 square foot house. You got a swimming pool. You got a freaking, you know, pond outside. You got four wheelers. You got your girlfriends. You can go hang out. You don't have a job. You don't have anything to do. Because yeah. I mean, if you found somebody that, you know, spend all the time in the world that they need to spend with you, I mean, that's fine. But I don't think that you're going to be living this type of lifestyle, you know. And that was the sacrifice that Bill was referring to. And then lo and behold, she didn't go anywhere. I mean, I guess she decided that, you know, it was worth it. So she kind of hung out. She lasted a long time after that. so at the end of the day, but. He told me about that sacrifice. There was definitely going to be sacrifice. And then I would say the other thing that they taught me indirectly, and this took me leaving him. You know, when I left the industry in 2007, I came back after being bored, came back about 6 months later, and it lasted for like 2 more weeks. And then after that, I never went back to him. I never joined him in anything ever again. And I was the only person that was with them, that had made that kind of money with them, that never came back. And one of the things that he indirectly taught me was that if you surround yourself around the right people and you learn the right leadership skills and you learn the right work ethic, you can take that same blueprint and apply it to another business model. And it doesn't have to be within that same business model. You know, even though I was getting paid a lot of money, I was still an employee. And when I left, you know, I was still getting paid good money. It wasn't 140 grand a month anymore because we were, you know, the business was slowing down. But I mean, I was still making 50, 60 grand a month, which wasn't anything to sneeze at. And at that time, I think when I left, I was 30. You know, I'm 47 now. So I was 30 when I left. 50 grand a month wasn't anything to sneeze at 17 years ago, just like it's nothing to sneeze at today. Yeah. But I can say that the blueprint that was created that I learned from him, that you could take a blueprint from surrounding yourself around the right people and applying it in a different business model, and the same blueprint will work. So he taught me that indirectly. So I'm forever grateful for him. You know, we chatted via text the other day, you know, and it was very, very humbling. And because, I mean, he's a freaking billionaire. He just had to respond back to me. And, you know, I text him at 2 o'clock and he responded back at 2:03, you know. So it was very, very humbling to hear from him. And the fact that he said, hey, I'm watching you. I see you out there and I'm proud of you. You know, I follow you on social. I see what you're doing. You know, you're still carrying a torch. And that's a beautiful thing, you know, for me to know that it's cool, because. Yeah. I always tell people, you're concerned about the likes and the views and all that good stuff. And one of the things that I use the reverse, and I say, hey, if you got 1,000 views on your video, you got 100 comments and 100 likes, that's 200 people that commented on it. That's 800 people that didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. So who are those people? You know, and when you know that one of them happens to be a billionaire that's watching your stuff, you know, you move a certain way, yeah. Especially when you're applying some of the things that they taught you. So. Long version of that question, but
no, that was awesome. And trust me, once they get their hands on these interviews, they will replay and replay this one over and over again and taking copious notes because of the value you've just laid up on them. And so let me just quickly ask this last and final question. It's centered around business, because I think you did a phenomenal job with relationships. You took a lot of time spending there. You took a lot of time on your family. And I just want it, because I know the genius behind those glasses when it comes down to business. Let's talk about the network marketing industry. An industry that actually has fed me through you, opened up so many doors by meeting you for me, and has lasted as long as it has, even up to today, because you are my brother. For someone that is barely exactly where they want to be. So let's just say they have over 100 people in their organization and they're looking to take their business to the next level and they consider themselves as a leader. What 2 to 3 or 4 golden nuggets you would give them to pick up the pace and run even faster?
Number one, find a mentor. Stop following so many people. So find only 1 or 2 people that you're following. That's it. Unsubscribe from everybody else's email. That's the problem that we've got with social media right now. We've got so many gurus. Everybody's a freaking guru, and 9 out of 10 of them are broke. You know, they're all on Instagram and Facebook and fronting and acting like they're doing this and doing that. And the reality of it is that it's not real. You know, is that for all of them? No. However, a confused mind does nothing. So if this mentor says do this, 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 a confused mind does nothing. So you're trying to figure out who do I listen to of the 5 people that I'm paying attention to, versus if you're only listening to 1 or 2 people, all that's gone. It's like you can look at their content, but that's fine and dandy. So I've made it a case that, and I tell people, hey, pay attention to who you're going to follow, especially from social media and from email. But when you look at email, start unsubscribing from lists. So you're not on 5, 6, 8 different gurus lists, because you're taking information from 5, 6, 8 different people. Like, you can't. You got to hone in on who makes sense, who mimics what you want, and follow them. Secondly, I would say master the launch process, something that, you know, we've done very, very well over the past couple of decades. Master the launch process. You know, people want to be a part of something bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. So if they want to be a part of something bigger than they are, master the launch process of launching your business. That's going to be key. The third thing that I would say is create a movement. People don't join companies, they join movements. Create a movement. So, you know, you weren't exactly there at that current moment. You came a couple of years later, but in 2007, that's when we created Team Takeover. Mm-hmm. That's been the movement. TTO has been the movement from 2007 up until today. And we've done different companies, and 90% of them, 95% of them aren't even in business anymore. But because we created the movement and people were a part of something bigger than they are, than they were and what they are, a lot of those people have followed the movement and been a part of the movement since 2007. That's how you create family. It becomes, hey, what are we selling? Acid covered chocolate blow pops? They must be good. I guess they're gonna do something good. Let's sell these blow pops. So people are part, you know, of that movement. So you got to do that. The other thing that I would say is deliver content with no strings attached. Deliver content with no strings attached. You know, I remember being interviewed by Grant Cardone, and, you know, I go there to talk to him about some of the business stuff. And he was like, hey, I got this idea about this network marketing moguls TV show. Like, you know, I wanted to launch it like in a week, but all the stuff is already set up. You want to be the first person? Let's do it right now. And I'm like, let's do it. I ain't scared. I'm like, whatever. So we go in there, we go and we do the interview. And he says, you know, I had Gary Vaynerchuk here last week. And he said, Gary Vaynerchuk, I asked Gary Vaynerchuk, if he were me, what would he do differently? Without blinking, Gary said, give away more free content. Mm-hmm. And Grant was like, dude, do you understand how much free content I already give away? He was like, great, give away more. And he was like, then if you think that you capped it out, give away some more. And he was like, what are you talking about? It's like, first of all, they're not even consuming all of it. Let's just be real. He was like, secondly, the more free content that you put out there with no strings attached, when it is time to sell something, they've learned so much from you for free. They've applied so much of it that you gave them for free. Now it's like, hey, if I'm paying $97 for this, if I'm paying $197 for this, if I'm paying $19.97 for this or whatever it is, this has to be gold because the stuff that I already got for free was already crazy valuable. You know, so I would tell people, put out content and don't be afraid of thinking, oh, well, I'm copying this person. I don't tell anybody to plagiarize anyone's content because that's just not good business. What I will say, though, is that everybody is a collage of the top five people that they spend the most time with. So a lot of the mentors and people that you follow, you think that the content is their original content. And for the most part, it isn't. It's just a collage of what they've heard. It's a collage of what they've read. It's a collage of what they've studied. They just learned it from someone that you don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, so if I use Jim Rohn for an example, a lot of people can quote so much stuff from Jim Rohn. But his mentor was Earl. You know what I mean? Right. Earl isn't here anymore. You know, Earl died a long time ago. So you heard it from Jim. You didn't hear from Earl. You know what I mean? And so on. And look at all the other people that got spawned from Jim. You know, you can look at a Tony Robbins and say, well, Tony Robbins this and Tony Robbins that. Tony Robbins has this great content. Okay, great. Well, who's Tony Robbins' mentor? Mm-hmm. Who did Tony, you know, learn from? You know, I remember, and one of his mentors was Jim. You know, I remember, and I'm not going to mention this gentleman's name because I don't edify him, but I remember training with this one gentleman, and it was very, very good, very, very good. And him and I bumped heads one day on a particular topic, and I told him, I said, you know, I know where you learned your stuff from. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I know your mentor. Like, your mentor is still around. Like, your mentor is still here. And he's like, like it was a mouthful of bumblebees, because what he was trying to do wasn't ethical. Mm-hmm. And when somebody shows me that they're not ethical anymore, I'm good. Like, I don't care how long I've been learning from you, and I'm good. Like, I'm good. But your stuff is good, so I want to learn it from the right person. And this particular person was training so many people, and that happened to be Joe Bauer. I've seen a lot of people, and I've learned from a lot of people, but from the stage, from closing from the stage, I haven't seen anybody better. You know, it's for me, it would be Joe Bauer and Myron Golden. Those would be the two when it comes down to closing from stage. Those would be my top two from closing from stage. And I love watching that process, you know. So I say all that to say that you have to look at, who are you listening to? Where is that mentorship coming from? Don't be afraid to take some content that you might learn from somebody else and put it in your own words and put it out there until you become more comfortable with your own words. So you're constantly delivering content, because then people are going to follow you, and you don't know who's watching. You know, you might have two or three or five views today, one or two comments a day. Then it might go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and then it changes. You know, people send me videos from 10, 11, 12 years ago, you know, that I've done 15 years ago. Hell, I think it was Larry not too long ago that sent the video of me and you way back in the day. And I was like, man, we look, it was like 2010, 2009, 2010. I was like, wow. Man, like, every time I see videos like that, I get depressed. I'm like, man, I had hair. Man, I'm like, how cool was my hairline? I'm like, I had a whole hairline. Oh, I had a whole hairline. Like, Lord, I don't have a hairline anymore. And you were just, you know, we know that black don't crack thing. So you just still looking like you look, you know, but you was this younger version of you. Yeah. So it was this younger version of you and this younger version of me. And it was bananas. You know, it was just bananas. But that content still lives on. You know, it's still out there on YouTube. You know, so you never know who's going to come across some content that you put out there 10, 11, 12 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. You don't know what it's going to be that is going to affect somebody. And I'll end that question with this. You know, something that warms my heart is that, you know, a couple times a week from a lot of people, from people that I don't even know, for the most part, 90% of them I don't know. that will inbox me and tell me or email me and say, hey, man, I watched this video. I learned this from you. I learned that. I just want to say thank you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, and for me, that's like a Mr. Miyagi moment. Like, because you don't know who's consuming your stuff or what are they learning. And somebody takes your stuff and they go and duplicate it. Lord knows, I can't say how many times I've seen said show up in different ways that have nothing to do with the word said in front of it, you know. But I sit back and I'm just, hey, I'm flattered, whatever, you know, everybody said something, I guess. It's fine. It's all good. It's fine. Everybody said something, right? So it yes. is what. So so yeah, like you do it for those things. So that's what I would say.
Oh, so you let me tell you this. Every time we have an opportunity to make a shift in our business, and this is what's happened at this current moment, you're making a shift in your business and you're getting ready to create a stage and create a platform for so many people, including myself. And I'm so excited for this particular moment to interview you. So definitely thank you for being a part of the Great Awakening Virtual Summit. And as we're about to close it out, give me some final words from Sid.
Yeah. You know, my final words are going to be a little different. I'll say my final words are going to be different because I could say that, you know, it's been, let's see, 2009. So what are we in? We in 22, let's just call it 23 now anyway. So that's 13. So it's 14. It's been 14 years of growth that I've watched you, right? And I want to take it back to a blueprint that you said. And I want some people to absorb this because a lot of people don't know how we met. So I want to use this as my closing. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I remember being at an event, we were in a hallway or whatever, and you were like, hey, you're going to be stuck with me for the rest of your life. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't even know you. Like, I didn't even know you. I'm like, who is this woman? Like, what is she talking about? Hey, you're going to be stuck with me for the rest of your life. And you was feeling me. You loved the energy. You loved the movement. You loved everything. He's like, okay, I want to be with that brother. I'm going to pay attention to what he's doing. And I'm going to work with him. And from that point, we became friends. And then you became my assistant. And I watched you grow. And I tell people that when you see somebody that has the results that you want, and maybe at that moment, you're not like the best builder, especially maybe in network marketing. Maybe you're not the best builder, but maybe you have some skill sets that you have that they don't have that you can help offset. Mm-hmm. And you can be with that person. Hey, I can do this, this, and this. I can take this weight off your shoulders. I can take that weight off your shoulders. I'm like, okay. Like everybody's looking for a way to get something offset from them that they don't have to do, because I want to do what I'm good at. So you find somebody that you really, really feel, and maybe you're not the best builder right now. But if you take the blueprint that you laid out, that you followed, it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe I can't build this way. Maybe I'm not going to recruit, you know, 2,000-3,000 people inside my business, but I can do this, this, and this for said. I can offset this. I can take care of these emails. I can take care of these videos. I can take care of this book stuff. I can take care of these flights. I can take care of these hotels. I can take care of these events. I can take care of all these other different things. I can do these things, take that weight off his shoulder. Then he can focus on himself. That puts money in my pocket, but that also puts me in the circle at the same time. And then over the years, what happens? We've been all over the world together. Every time there's an event, you're right there. Every freaking product I ever owned, you got access to. You got access to stuff that nobody else has access to. You know what I'm saying? And that's from trust over years. So I would just say, you know, first of all, I'm proud of you for everything that you're doing, but you've laid out a blueprint as well. So I think that's something that, you know, you should take in, and people that are watching this can use it as an example of, hey, maybe I'm not good at this, but this person, I want to be like this person. I want to learn some stuff from this person. So what kind of value can I provide in that person's life that can get me closer to the fire? Because the closer you are to the fire, the quicker you are to get burned. The further you are away from the fire, you can't get burned, you know? So it's like, how do I get burned? So that's what I would say. So that would be my closing statements. Congratulations to you. Keep up the great work. Everything that you're doing, and I'm excited to see this product released and all the great people that you actually are interviewing right now.
Well, definitely. Thank you so much for being a part of the Great Awakening Virtual Summit. I look forward to the next video.